I've asked our brother in Christ, Sean Reese, if he would also preach for us today, and I pray that we would give careful attention a little bit later to God's word from the letter of Jude. Before that, he's going to share about the ministry, which is called Heart Cry. Sean Reese serves with Heart Cry Missionary Society as the coordinator for Africa and the Middle East. Before his current role at Heart Cry, Sean served several years in pastoral ministry and a few years in Zambia, Africa as a missionary. He is also a veteran of the Marine Corps. Sean and his wife, Joyce, who's here today. And by the way, lest I forget, they do have a table of resources. You definitely want to hit that up before you leave today. Sean and his wife, Joyce, have been married for 32 years and have been blessed with 3 children and 4 grandchildren. Sean and Joyce live near Christiansburg, Virginia, not too far from Virginia Tech, in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains, where he enjoys deer hunting and fly fishing for trout. One more brief word. It's perfectly okay if you say, I don't know what you're talking about when you say heart cry. Sean's going to share with us about that here shortly.
So let's do it this way. First of all, let's talk about the why before we talk about what we do. Why do we do what we do? Because that's more important. So the theological foundation for Heart Cry and all that we do. Let me read our mission statement. And if you've ever heard Paul Washer preach, you'll understand the length of the mission statement. The goal of our ministry is to glorify God and bring the greatest possible good to humankind through the preaching of the gospel and the establishment of biblical churches throughout the world by means of equipping and mobilizing indigenous churches and missionaries. There you go. He doesn't want you to have any doubt when you read that what we do. And there are some key words here that I want to highlight in this mission statement. First of all, the goal of our ministry is to glorify God. Now, I realize it's real popular today to say you do everything for the glory of God, but that has real-world ramifications for how you do missions, okay? So the goal of our mission work is, and all mission work should be, to glorify God in the work of redemption, his work of redeeming people. Missions is not primarily about humanity. It's not about their need. It is first and foremost about God. And therefore, if missions is about God, then that means that God's character defines how you do missions. Okay? Not men's desires, not men's preferences, but God's character. And our mission work must align with his character. It also means that God's instructions in Scripture must be followed. Not man's methods that seem to produce results, but God's instructions. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 is very clear. Scripture is sufficient for every good work, right? What's left out of that? Every good work, including the Great Commission. So God did not say, okay, I want you to evangelize the world and then just set us free to get creative and do what we want. No. He gave us specific instructions on how to do it, and he gave us an example. And God's method is quite clear from the book of Acts and from the epistles. His way of evangelizing or doing missions in the world is to preach the gospel and establish churches. That's it. Preach the gospel and establish churches. So let's talk about those two. First of all, the preaching of the gospel. Romans 1:16. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, nothing else. And again, everybody would say today in missions, well, we preach the gospel. All right, but what gospel are you preaching? The purity of your gospel matters. Faithfulness to scriptures matters. So I would love to have shown you, you know, about German, but there's a reason we partner with men like him. I don't know if you could just see briefly he lives in an incredibly impoverished community. You know, the last scene was a child walking through just a massive trash dump. It's just constantly burning. A very rough place. And we partner with him because the world's greatest need is courageous men who have been adequately trained, who know the gospel, who won't water it down to make it more attractive, who won't dumb it down to the lowest common denominator, and who won't count on the latest clever strategy to get more people in the door. We need men who will boldly preach the gospel, a gospel that is foolish to the world, and the only way it's going to have any fruit is if God joins it with his power. So they must depend upon the power of God. So it starts with preaching the gospel, and then comes establishing biblical churches. It's impossible to read the New Testament and not see that the church is central to all of God's work in the world today. Establishing churches is the primary work of missions. You wouldn't know that today by so much of what's called mission. So I'll say that again. Establishing churches is the primary work of missions. So therefore, HeartCry almost exclusively supports church planting pastors like German Banda. Now, we do support a few what I call supplemental ministries, things like translation and publishing ministries, university student ministries, some things like that. But we only support those as they are connected to and strengthening a local church in that country or region. Establishing churches is the goal of missions. And here's another statement that is shocking these days. Establishing churches is the work of local churches. Establishing churches is the work of local churches. Churches plant churches. Mission organizations don't plant churches. Churches plant churches. HeartCry doesn't send missionaries. And we don't plant churches. And I'll explain more about that in a second. And this would probably be a good place, Brother John, to mention that I'm talking about the importance, the centrality of the church. HeartCry is not a parachurch organization. Okay, with Paul as the director and a bunch of staff members out there somewhere. We are all part of a local church. The entire staff of HeartCry, including Brother Paul, we are all members of one local church. We're all under our elders. If any of us is in grievous sin, we're not quietly put away. We're subject to church discipline. Boy, is that needed today in a lot of Christian organizations. So I just wanted you to know that. I'm not talking about the importance of the local church. Meanwhile, we're not doing that. And then one more word in that mission statement, the word indigenous. And I'm not going to assume everybody knows what that word means. So indigenous, part of a people group, part of a culture. So we are working with men who are reaching their own people group, their own culture, with the gospel. Now, we absolutely recognize the need of cross-cultural missions, right? Somebody going from the U.S. or from Europe to another country, to India, to Zambia and Africa. I was a cross-cultural missionary, okay? So I'm not downplaying the need for that. Where the indigenous church does not yet exist, in other words, unreached peoples, somebody has to leave their culture and go over there and take them the gospel. Or if the indigenous church is still weak, immature, somebody needs to leave their culture and go there and train and strengthen that church. So there's a vital need. But where a mature indigenous church exists already, there are numerous advantages to supporting someone who already knows the language, already knows the culture, and is comfortable with the unique hardships of that context. And so that's who we work with. Now, how? Well, let's start out with how do we find men like German Banda? How do we do that? There are, if you know anything about indigenous missions, there's plenty of horror stories, right? We used to do short-term trips to Zambia. And in our visits to one of the villages, we met a young man. He seemed to be a genuine believer. He could speak the gospel clearly. He would shed tears about how other villages had no gospel witness. And in our zeal and ignorance, we began to support this man. I'm not talking about HeartCry. I'm just talking about a group of us that were doing a short-term mission trip. So we were giving him $100 a month to be an evangelist. Then we moved to Zambia. We moved to that very area, and suddenly we couldn't find the guy. Then lo and behold, we find out he's working for a lodge, across a fishing lodge across the river, earning the salary of a manager while getting our income. He's not going to any of the villages. He's hiding a second wife in another village, and he begins to manifest demonic behavior not long after we showed up. How do we avoid that in indigenous missions? How does Heart Cry not support men like that and support men like German Banda? Well, if Heart Cry ever loses our humility, we will not last, because we realize I can't hold an African accountable from my office in Virginia. He can fool me with reports, with pictures. He can even fool me if I come for a visit for a couple of weeks. But you know who he can't fool? Godly elders in his own country, in his own context. A little bit harder to fool them. So Heart Cry works on what we call a hub strategy. Imagine the hub of a wagon wheel. You got the spokes going out. The spokes are the church planting missionaries. The hub is a central church, a lead church. So what happens is God brings Heart Cry into relationship with a mature indigenous church, or sometimes a fellowship of churches. They already have like-minded doctrine with us. By the way, we are Baptist. And then we go and we check it out, and we're looking for certain things. We're looking for elders whose character and whose teaching has the respect of their peers in their country and sometimes beyond. We're looking at the practice of the church. Are they biblical in their practice? Can they serve as a model for these other new churches that will be coming up? We're looking for a sacrificial commitment to the Great Commission already in that indigenous church, no matter how poor they are. Are they already doing all they can do with the resources they have, not sitting back waiting for somebody to bring them money? And then that church is identifying and training and sending missionary pastors. And when they send them, they're then overseeing them and holding them accountable. So let me give you an example. I work with a dear brother, Pastor Conrad Mbewe, in Zambia. He's pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church, Lusaka, Zambia. I would challenge you, get on Sermon Audio, look up Conrad Mbewe. He's one of my favorite preachers in all the world. And so Brother Paul Washer kept hearing about this Conrad Mbewe, finally went to Zambia to check him out. Was amazed at the church that he saw, the eldership, the biblical practice. Conrad's church, Kabwata, is now 32 years old. He's been there the whole 30 plus years, 500 members, 7 or 8 elders, and they have planted 30 plus churches in 30 years. They've averaged about a church a year that they are starting in Zambia, and now they're reaching out to other countries across Southern and East Africa. They have a pastoral internship program, so they bring guys from Zambia or other African countries. They come to Conrad and the other elders. They work with them for a year, watching their character, watching their work ethic, and then the best of those guys, they ordain and send out as church planters. When they send them out, one elder is assigned to each one of those church plants, so he's going and checking on them, and then there's a small group in the church that's assigned to help them out, help them with evangelism, help them with special events. So they're training, they're sending out, they're helping them, they're also holding them accountable. I've lost 4 missionaries in the last few years in Africa. 2 in Zambia, 1 in Botswana, 1 in Sierra Leone. And how did I lose them? Conrad and his elders, and oftentimes the deacons who are handling the finances for these church plants, find out that this guy has character issues that disqualify him. And so one day I'll just get an email from Conrad saying, "Hey, Sean, I had to dismiss so-and-so because he lacked financial integrity." And I say, "Brother Conrad, all that does is increase my trust in you even more. Thank you so much for letting us know." They could fool me from the U.S., but they can't fool that local church. Heart Cry won't work without that method. So as you see, we don't send missionaries, we don't plant churches, but rather we partner, we come alongside, and that's important. We don't come over. We come alongside and we help indigenous churches send their own. And then lastly, what does that help look like? Well, first of all, it starts with full financial support of a missionary and his family. We want them to be able to devote themselves fully to the work of the ministry, not worry about working another job or farming. So full financial support. Now, this is key. Our goal is that they live with dignity in their own culture. We don't want them living in luxury, like the prosperity prophets above all their people. We don't want them living in poverty, which is a poor representation of the gospel. We want them to live with dignity among their people. And we don't determine that amount. The hub leader, Pastor Conrad, will say to me, Sean, this guy needs this much in the village. This guy needs this much in the city. And that support is not indefinite. We don't want them forever dependent upon outside help. So there's a weaning process where we want that church eventually to take responsibility for caring for their pastor. And that's a scary thing for the pastor and the church. But Conrad or one of his elders goes and visits that church as the weaning process is going on, and they'll warn him, look, we told you at some point, we're going to be cutting back funds. Do you like your pastor? Would you like to keep him? Then you need to support him. In addition to financial support, there's training. We help our guys, whether it's seminary, ministerial school, internship programs I've mentioned, conferences. I said at the beginning, in missions, faithfulness to the scriptures matters. So we've got to get our guys trained, grounded, and rooted in the scriptures. And then we help them with tools. It could be transportation, a car, whatever's appropriate to their culture, a car, a bicycle, a boat on the Amazon, pastoral libraries, laptops, audio equipment for street preaching. Brother German, I don't know if you saw in the initial scenes, he's riding a motorcycle through his community. Well, German had knee surgery a few years ago. And all he had was a bicycle. So every day he's riding a bike around his community and his knee continued to deteriorate. It's just bone on bone. The pain was so bad he couldn't sleep. He had to sit in a chair to preach. And I read about that in one of his reports and started talking to the elders and the deacons at Kabwata. We got him a motorcycle and he's quite happy about that. So financial support, training, tools. Number four, the most important support we can give is prayer. Prayer. I said earlier, right? The gospel has no power apart from the power of God. And so we access God's power through prayer. So we're always trying to generate more prayer support for our missionaries. We have different ways of doing that. I would encourage you to go look at our website, heartcrymissionary.com, in just endless resources to empower or fuel your prayers, okay? There are, every day we're putting up a new missionary update. So you don't have to wonder what your money's going toward. You can see it's going towards real work, real people really planting churches. Every Monday, there's a thing called Missions Monday where Brother Paul will sit and interview one of us coordinators about new things happening in our region. There are also documentaries on there. So you can go back and watch this one now on your own time. Brother German, I think it's titled something like Living Among Them or something. You can see some of those documentaries. We also have the Heart Cry magazine. There's several we brought with us back on the table if you want to grab one on the way out. This is a quarterly. It has some of those mission updates in there and usually an article from Brother Paul. And then also the Heart Cry calendar. I realize we're a little ways into the year, but this is a prayer calendar, okay? Every day there is one or two missionaries' names on there. Just a very simple, practical way to pray through all of Heart Cry's missionaries. I know a lot of families who do that during their family worship. All right, lastly, all that support, caring for these families and training them and giving them the tools, it is only possible because of the generosity of churches like you. So as I said, I'm not here to raise money. I'm just here to say thank you. Heart Cry is nothing special. I say we're a spiritual FedEx. We're just delivering your generosity to the men who are working hard on the field. It's Christmas Day every day for us, helping these guys. So we're nothing special. But those of you who sacrificially give and the men who are in the trenches on the field, Thank you. On behalf of German, on behalf of, I think, almost 240 missionary families now in almost 50 countries around the world, thank you all very much.